Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the word of God.
To his son, Jesus Christ, who is the mystery of God's grace. We thank God for this pastor and his wife, his family. Ever since this pastor invited me, I was wondering what's going on, because everything has challenged me to be here, including today. For the first time, my wife is not here. First time we've ever had the new grandbaby. And so she said, well, I can just bring him on. I'm saying, wait a minute, this is a new creature. She ain't been trained yet. You know, so we were sitting around the house just looking and gawking at the baby. The clock was running on. And I said, you're not going, huh? She said, nah, you see how she's acting? I don't think we better take her nowhere. So the wife is at home with the children tonight, the grandchildren. And, you know, we love grandchildren. We like our kids, but we love grandbabies. God has been good to me. My testimony is being saved and realizing what salvation is. This week has been a challenge, and as Pastor says, you know, we are kindred souls, kindred friends. You know a lot of the same folks, and it's amazing that we didn't meet each other, but we've known a lot of the same people. I need some help tonight. I plan to give a word tonight. I came to be blessed and also to be a blessing. Man, I didn't know you could sing like that. A lot of folks tell me they can sing, but I didn't know you could sing like that. You and your family got it going on. And that's a blessing, man. You know, I ain't got nothing that my family can sing. Nobody. We just look at each other and grin. We don't sing. But God is good. And I believe that he has a blessing. I need some help tonight because I turned 64, and I'm thinking I can remember all things. But the scripture says that all things work for the good of them that love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose. And so when we look at this and understand the Latin form of writing, you have the desired effects before you get the meaning. So we go backwards. Those that accept God's purpose, all things will work for them, because they're called into that. Am I making myself clear this evening? And how I came about this is that I was just going home and I said, you know, why does folks not get it? There seems like this is discontentment in every, even church. There's discontentment. Marriages love the person, but there's discontentment in the relationship. Friendships love that person, but there's discontentment. Love the church home, but I'm discontented. And I asked God, what is it people don't get when your word says that all things are going to work for you? Can you say amen? Yeah. We begin to look at this thing and say that all things will work if you have a purpose in it. Most people that are in situations that they are discontented with don't have a vision for it. If marriages that you don't have a vision in, you don't have really know what your purpose is there. Businesses, ministries, if you don't have a vision in it, you need to check your purpose out. I begin to look at this really, really clear because I got a vision. Oh, thank God. I got a vision for what God has given me. And because of that vision, I know what my purpose is. Whether if I die, there's a lot of folks that die without meeting their purpose. God help them. But if you die without doing what God has for you to do, you missed out on life. Come on and tell God thank you. I begin to look at this thing, and when we look at what God said in his word, that all things work. Everybody want everything to work out. I done called this man so many times, and he takes this tone with me. First, I thought he was playing with me, but he takes this calm tone. It's going to work out. And after a while, I begin to understand that scripturally, it is going to work out. It is my spirit that's out of line. Does that make sense? See, he was sent to me because God knew I needed help in my vision. Does that make sense? And so it would be out of line for me not to listen to the blessing that God has sent to me. And I'm just using this as a paradigm. Sometimes God gives us a way out of a situation or a way through a situation, but we won't listen because we haven't fixed our purpose in our mind. People go through marriages for years. I'm just damn married for the kids. As soon as the kids is gone, I'm gone. But what was the purpose? I had a young lady come in to my office, and she says to me that her boyfriend had not been faithful, and he came and confessed to her. And she was willing to stay in the relationship, but she didn't know how to forgive him. And so I said, well, I can't diagnose this. I can't get a diagnosis to build the insurance company. So I'm going to tear these papers up, and we're going to talk a while. And the first thing I asked her, what was your vision in this relationship? Well, I thought we would get married and have a family and have, be together and live our life out together. I said, well, good. And so you thought that because of the purpose of being married, you're in this relationship and that was your vision? She said, yes. I said, well, what was his? She said, I don't know. How do we hook up with folks and we don't know what their vision is and why they with me? Because somebody got to help me with that. Why would you hook up with somebody that don't even speak your language and you sitting there trying to communicate with them? Let's alone marry them. And I'm not saying not marrying in nationalities, but I'm using this. Why would you hook up with somebody that don't understand where you want to go? Does this make sense? I see this quite a bit. God gives you a vision, and then you dilute the vision with your flesh. You know, we got to understand something. When God's vision and purpose comes in life, everything else is put on second base. Now, me and my wife, we love each other. We're together 7 days a week. We work together. You know, Pastor comes and laughs at us because she bosses me around like I'm a little old puppy sometimes. You know, but when it comes to serving God, she know I'll leave and go do what God has me to do. We got to be faithful to the purpose God has put into our lives. Sometimes we get lost in the midst of the insanity that's going on. You can get caught up watching the world slide away. You can get caught up watching helicopters crash and forget what God said. All things work out because you love the Lord. Once you become to the place that whether I live or die, Jesus still is on the throne. Whether the mountain falls into the sea, Jesus is still in control. Sometimes we just got to pinch ourselves because it's so good to know a man like Jesus, who can take a nothing and make a something. Oh, God. Jesus can change the situation as you walk through the situation. Matter of fact, he'll change you in the situation. Oh, how many need changing today? Going through a little something right now, I just need you to change me, Lord. Hallelujah. This is it. This is it. He says that the purpose. I do behavioral health, and I work with people with mental issues, and I work with substance abuse issues. And the one thing that I ask everybody, well, what is your purpose? Well, my goal is to get a house and a job and get me a new car. I said, wait a minute, that sounds like a goal. But once you get the house and the job and the car, what is your purpose? Huh? Most people in this generation are born and raised with no God. And because they have no God, they have no vision for life. One thing I know that when the draft was around, the reason they took people at 18 years old is because they didn't know nothing about dying. They really didn't. They'd scoop us up, give us a gun to play with, take us thousands of miles away, and drop us off. Y'all didn't know about that. Y'all too young to know about the draft. It's the same thing, it's just legalized it. Once you know that life has a meaning, most of those guys coming back from their wars and stuff, and they come back and see how terrible things are here. So they had 2,200 people to commit suicide, and 22 this month so far from veterans. When you start looking at the numbers and looking at the reality of a generation that don't know God and they get put into a godless situation, somebody got to believe that somebody needs to know about Jesus. You're brought here tonight because you want to know more about Jesus. Well, you got a good teaching preacher. This man amazes me. And you know, we don't debate the word. We seek for an understanding of the word. You know, I'm very rarely wrong, and he's very rarely wrong. So there's some good conversations going on. I remember one time I was driving, and it's a sign that it's a one-way road going this way, and I went ahead and made a left turn. And he said, you know, that's against the law. And I said, man, I've been doing this for years. You know, my mama used to do this. You know, everybody in my family make a left-hand turn to a one-way street. But then I stopped and said, this man's attorney. Why am I arguing with something out of my scope? Does this make sense? God has put people in your life and purpose in your life. And believe it or not, if you don't have a purpose, ask him for one. If you're not up doing something for him on a regular day-to-day basis, you need to ask for the task. Come on and tell God, thank you. Lord, give me what you want me to do. I don't just want to be like Methuselah. All he did was lived. Come on and tell me what he did. They said all he did was lived. We want to do something for Jesus while we're here. We need to work while it's day, for night cometh and no man can work. We need to look into what God has for us. And you know what? What he has for us is bigger than us. It's bigger than us. And you know, if you're scared, it's supposed to scare you. Hallelujah. If you're scared, it's supposed to scare you because you can't do it on your own. Once you realize you can't do it on your own, you begin to limp. Jacob was wrestling with the angels. An angel touched him in the hollow part of his thigh. And the Bible says that he limped from then on. That's what we need to be doing is limping. Because every time you limp, you think about what God brought you through, where God has delivered you to, what your purpose is, where you're supposed to go. Oh, come on and tell God thank you. My purpose is to serve God. Solomon said to serve God, to tell the whole truth about life, we're to obey God. Amen? Charles Stanley says, obey God and let him sort the rest out. There's a whole lot of stuff needs sorting out. How many got family members need sorting out? How many got people you work with need sorting out? How many got finances need to be sorted out? Well, come on and tell God thank you, because he's sorting it out right now. He's moving it in a direction. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told myself, now you ain't going over here to try to holler at these folks. I just want to give a word. I just want to give a word, because see, this thing is real to me. This is real to me. I walked them down these streets for years out of my mind, not knowing what God had for me, not knowing what he had deposited in me. That makes sense? You don't know what God has for you yet. God has great things for this church. Oh, come on and say, yes, Lord. I surrender to your will right now. Whatever your will is, Lord, count me in. Move me that direction, Lord. Anoint me to work for you now. Oh, God, it's not me, it's you. I love it. I love it. I love it. I spent 6 years on a dialysis machine. 6 hours a day, 4 days a week. They counted me out in January, said I'd live 6 months in 2004. But God said, not yet. And then when you look at the things you're going through and you're supposed to have died, you got to remember, but God. But God. Hallelujah. He delivered me and said, I got something for you to do. You know, Pastor, I was able to write and create from that dialysis chair. Blood going out of my arm and going back in and, you know, not knowing. Everybody telling me that everybody dying around me, so God blessed me to put it in my house so I didn't have to go to that psychological thing. You know? And then he gave me a 31-year-old kidney. Just when they told me, because I got fighter skin. Fighter skin means that I heal up in less than a day, 2 days at the most. If I'm cut or scratched or something, it heals up. So every time they put a spot on me to dialysize me, it would last for a few days, and then they had to go find another one. And so finally they said, we can't cut you no more. And the Lord blessed me to preach a message that says that your blessing is tied up in the thicket. And so that Wednesday, they called me up and said, Pastor Woodley, we got a kidney for you. And I'd always been a bridesmaid, but never a bride when it came to getting a kidney. I'd have been in the hospital. They'd have put me in a gown and put me in the bed, drugged me up, and told me to get up and go home. And so I just thought this might be another dry run. I listened, and Saturday came, and they said, well, we need to do this test. I went and got that done. Sunday said, we need to dialysize you one more time. And I went and got that done. And 4 o'clock in the morning, I went in there, and I was laying on the table. And then pretty soon they said, okay, we're going to take you in. I said, okay. I'm thinking, here it is again. Next thing I knew, it was 9 hours later, they had a kidney that fit. I'm so big, they thought they might have to put 2 in. But they found a young man my size that was getting ready to give his mother a kidney, but he wasn't a match. And 3 hospitals got together and told him, if you give this kidney to Pastor Woodley, we will find your mother a kidney at the same time. Took me totally out of order. Look at God. Look at God. All things work. I'm a living witness. I can preach this because I'm living this. God will work it out. God will show you a way out. God will make it clean and clear. You ain't got to lie, cheat, nor steal to get delivered from what the devil is trying to do. I know you're going through something, but I want to tell you tonight, I just come to put this in your spirit, that all things work for those that love the Lord and that's called, and you know you're called. Come on and tell him thank you. You know you're called tonight because you're here. Hallelujah. I've been sitting around and wondering, what am I doing? And God said, you got to just be still. Sometimes we got to be still, Pastor. If you be still, God can operate. Huh? You know, sometimes the old folks in the old days, and I'm talking about the real old folks, you know, I was in a denomination that was full of old folks. And then it wasn't like I'm the old folks now, you know, but it was like some of the old folks had died and we were still following their rules, you know? And so, but they had this song, "My Mind, My Mind, My Mind Is Gone." I done lost my mind. I heard this. I said, oh, I can't sing that. I sure can't sing that. Until I begin to understand this, saying, I don't need to worry about it no more. Then I heard Jesus say the Bible says that, you know, you need to understand that he will care, he careth for you. And I thought for a long time that, well, I know Jesus loved me. I know Jesus cared for me. No, what he's saying is, don't you worry, because I will care, and I do care for you. I will worry for you. Take upon my yoke. My burdens are light. I told God the other day, I said, hey, you know what? This is where I pray. It might not be the way everybody else pray, but that's where I pray. Okay, I just can't get refined yet. Pastor, I'm working on it. I'm working on them big words. But I said, yo, God, look, I ain't got no money. These folks got a payday here, and I ain't got no money. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home. I'm going to get in my bed, and I'm going to go to sleep. And the next morning, I have money in my bank account to make the payroll. See, this is the type of God I serve. He will meet your needs. You got to realize you're not here by accident. None of this stuff is yours. You understand? Nothing you have is yours. It all belongs to Jesus. And once you step out the way and let him handle his stuff, I told this young lady, I said, you know, the problem is you're trying to fix your boyfriend. That ain't going to work. I said, you need to give him to Jesus. Give him to Jesus. What do you mean, Pastor Woodley? I said, give him to Jesus. If he's unfixable, you'll see it. If he's fixable, you'll have him. But we don't give God our problems. We don't give him our concerns. We're too afraid to give him our children. You know, my son told me, you ain't never done nothing for me, as he drove off in the Jaguar I gave him. We don't want to turn him loose. But I'm telling you this. I want to meet Jesus. I want to live in this kingdom in peace. All right? I don't want to be stressed out in this world. I don't want to live in a world that every day is drudgery. Come on and tell God thank you. You know you've been waking up concerned, going to bed concerned. You better get some sleep. You can't change nothing. Do you hear me? You might go to bed in a landlocked house and wake up with waterfront property because you can't change nothing. God's doing something in the atmosphere. I like that song. He's doing something in the atmosphere. He's calling us to aware and be aware that he's about to come back. He's coming back looking for you, the church, without spot or wrinkle. Not the building, but the church, which is you. You got to be a witness. You got to be the prayerful one. You got the one, because we're the ones that's holding this thing together. In the name of Jesus, we got to call on him. Come on and tell God thank you. Hallelujah. This is an interesting night for me. I ain't preached on a Saturday night except when I was running revivals, you know. And I just love it. Of course, I didn't know there was this much traffic on a Saturday night. You know, there's a lot of things you got to learn about Saturday night. But he's the same God on a Saturday as he is on a Sunday. Hallelujah. You might get a head start on it because you got it on a Saturday night. This is it. I'm going to say this, Pastor, and I'm gonna be through. I don't wanna wear out my welcome because I do plan to come back. But this is it. What God has planned for this body is beyond your imagination. Now, I ain't running around here trying to be no prophet or some wonder. I'm not gonna walk no water and split the Puget Sound. But I'm gonna tell you what God put in my spirit. And I told your pastor this months ago. God has a plan for this church. Why? Because you've been faithful. Faithfulness pays dividends. Y'all don't understand it. Faithfulness pays dividends. And I believe it, and I receive it. This is what he's getting ready to do for you all here, for all of us. I felt like I came here tonight to get a blessing, and man, the music was just, oh, gosh, I mean, that's everything I wanted to do is sing and hear that music. I was out here just yodeling under the music. I just loved it. But it ministered to me. You don't know what you got. See, the ministry that you have is beyond the infancy because you've organized it. Organizing is sacrificing. Come on. This just didn't happen. Organizing is sacrificing. You're about to get what God has for you in no short term. Now, when it happened, come wake this old man up. And this is what I know God is getting ready to do here. You got a good pastor. And not only pastor, he's a good man. He's one of the few people in Seattle that nobody got anything negative to say about. Everybody got something bad to say about, but they ain't never got nothing. I said, well, you know, yeah, I know him. Oh, yeah, he's always been just, yeah, you know. I can't get that kind of action. They always got something bad to say about me. But, you know, you got to don't care. You got to don't care. I'm going to say this. God has blessed me in spite of me. How many know what that means? He's blessed me in spite of me. And he continues to do that. If you have not accepted your purpose and start participating in your ministry, I challenge you tonight to recommit yourself to what God has put on your heart. Somebody was supposed to do something, but they was too afraid to say it. Somebody was supposed to go somewhere, but they thought people would talk about them. God is saying it's time for you to do it. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're just right to do what you need to do. I'm still trying to do everything God tells me to do. And everybody look at me like, man, you crazy. You got one kidney. You got this big old business that outgrowed you. But God gave me a vision. And Pastor, I'm trying to live up to it. I'm trying to live up to it. The devil is trying to fight us every step of the way. I need your prayers. The devil is, when you get serious, that's when the devil gonna act up on you. As long as you playing, church, he ain't gonna do too much. You know, as long as you're playing, church. For those of you that have committed yourself to serving and loving the Lord, I challenge you to step out there. Even though the water looks deep, step out there. Even though you can't see the bottom, step out there. And trust God. Because you know what? He'll never leave you nor forsake you.
We appreciate you listening to today's message. If you would like to hear this message and others in its entirety, visit our website, newcreationwa.org. We have services on Saturday nights, and we would love for you to come out and join us at the Emerald City Bible Fellowship Building located at 7728 Rainer Avenue South, Seattle, Washington, 98118. For questions or comments, call us at 425-686-8197. You can be made new in Christ. God bless.